There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Another week of live local talk to work with. And, of course, you are a big part of the show. Reminder, the phone and text hotline, 343-0106. Also, reminder, brand new. Just announced at the end of last week, and we appreciate those of y'all that have already downloaded the FM Talk 106.5 app. It's free, y'all. And if you have an iPhone, it's available at iTunes. If you're an old-fashioned buddy-duddy like me with your Android phone, go to Google Play. Either way, just search for FM Talk 106.5. And it does matter, the letters and the numbers there. So just letter FM, you know, so FM and then TALK, and then the number 1, number 0, number 6, number 5. No dot between the 6 and 5. All right? No period between the 6 and 5. Because it messes up whatever it is in iTunes and in Google Play. So FM Talk 106.5. You'll see our logo. Download it. That's the app. It's free, and it's awesome. One button to call the station. One button to text the station. A recording feature to leave a voicemail for the station, let alone 55 hours a week of live local programming that come from this studio right here at Airport and 65, available in podcast form as news breaks during the day, going up on our Facebook page, Twitter feed, Instagram. It's all on there as well. You can search through and find latest traffic information before you head out in the afternoon or the morning. Get the latest weather forecast, all one place, the FM Talk 106.5 app, available right now, iTunes and Google Play. So check it out. All right, lots to do on today's show. In hour number two, Mark Ingram from Baldwin EMC is going to join me. Also, City Councilman Joel Daves will join me. And Skylar Martin from Southern Cancer Center this hour, and he's feeling the pressure of it right now. District 101 Representative Chris Pringle is in, and he's like, how long is Sullivan going to keep me? I got things to do with my life. Hey, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Sean.
When I could turn the mics on, what has happened here? Something has happened to our mics, and I'm not sure.
Can you hear me?
There we go. Yeah. There you go. All right. Just had to get closer to that mic.
Yeah, you got me now.
There we go. So welcome back.
Thank you, Sean. Good to be here.
Good to have you in. And lots to talk about, but lead off, and I know you talked about it with Jeff on Friday. We were talking about you as well. A pre-filed bill dealing with critical race theory in schools in Alabama.
Yeah, Sean, this was come out of academia where they want to teach this critical race theory, and they were doing it in government, and President Trump shut it down. He wouldn't let them teach, you know, have these critical race theory classes, but President Biden removed that executive order and has come back in full swing. I don't believe it's reached the state of Alabama yet, but this is some bad stuff that people need to pay attention to, because this is indoctrination of our youth and our children, and it's indoctrination that comes out of a Marxist theory of, you know, we believe in equality. Mm-hmm. Our 14th Amendment states, you know, equality, you know, our Voting Rights Act, our Civil Rights Act, everything we believe in as a nation is equality. They don't use that word. They use equity. And,
yes.
And they're very good at these subtle differences and how they, you know, couch this stuff towards our children. You know, and of course, you and I both know equity is redistribution of wealth. They want to take your money away. They believe that you shouldn't own land, that, you know, land should be taken away from you and given to the people they believe deserve to own the land, because it's mm-hmm. not you and I. And this is some dangerous concepts that basically teach if you were born a certain skin color, you are inherently bad and inherently racist solely because of your skin color.
And this is something that comes through, there's lots of different, and we'll probably talk about them, anecdotal ways it shows up. And you know, you've got this pre-filed bill, but Florida's dealt with this, several other states, actually more than that. How many states?
It's 12 states.
12 states, right? have moved for this. It is a... So they're getting in front of it there. You're talking about doing it here. But there's anecdotal evidence. We can go through and talk about it. It says this, it says this other thing. But at the core, and you and I had a discussion during the news, and what has made me think this is not just a tennis ball thrown out there to distract. What is real here is that you're defining people, at least according to the tenets of critical race theory, by their skin color. That's... I mean, it's a 180 from what Dr. King taught. It's a 180. It is your definition of your skin color is the most important, is everything for a human being. And to me, that's poisonous.
Oh, it's terribly poisonous. It's telling certain children that because of your skin color, either you're inherently bad or you're not able to succeed.
There you go. That's the other part of it that I don't hear discussed, is you're telling other groups that they can't succeed because they're not white.
It's terrible. I mean, this is liberal academics run amok based on Marxist theories. And it's indoctrination of our youth.
You're going to get, you know, pushback on this from folks out there that says, you know what, you're just, this is just, you know, white guilt associated with this. You're getting angry about this because it talks about, white privilege and it's going to upend white supremacy, right? That's some of the arguments pushed back on this from those people that are proponents of critical race theory. What do you say to that?
You know, I've been online looking. I would love for somebody to share with me a critical race theory manual. Because I can't find one. I mean,
right, it's just kind of
all this esoteric, you know, talk here. But I'd like to really see in writing exactly what all they teach, because I have not been able to find it anywhere I've looked. And I've looked. So it's all this stuff is just what I consider the woke cancel culture is trying to tear this country apart and divide us, not only on racial but on social and ethnic lines.
Right, and to divide, not unite people, is what I see in it. And to put people in groups by something that they don't choose, you know, it's God decides. You know,
exactly.
You're born, your skin color is this, your parents are that, whatever it is, God decides this, and they're using that as like something that should override what your nationality is, what your profession is, who your friends are. I don't see a list of things, but anecdotally, you'll see something come up that says, this is critical race theory. And then this thing over there, I have not seen that list. You have. I've just noticed like key tenets. And I guess you could apply different issues to the fact that race is more important than anything and then decide what the CRT opinion would be on it.
I just don't understand how we can allow this to infiltrate our education system. Now, when I was at the University of Alabama studying political science, in the upper level classes, we had some interesting discussions on, and I laughed. I used to sit at my IBM Selectric 2 typewriter.
Wow. And, so it's cool.
And,
you know, when they come on.
And write some just crazy liberal stuff, because I was just trying to get a grade.
Yeah.
And I just wrote whatever I thought the Communist Manifesto wanted, just so the teachers, they would write on my, you know, papers, very insightful, you know, very, it was garbage, but I was trying to get a grade. But at that level, you're at a different playing field at the 400 level college mm-hmm. classes or postgraduate classes. You can have some of these conversations, but to indoctrinate children at an early age, they are inherently bad or they are inherently crippled. They can't succeed. It's just terrible.
How do you think this would come? Do you think it would come attached to federal funding for school, or how? What vehicle would critical race theory use to be into the curriculum?
Well, you know, you can get me started on the United States Department of Education and what it's done to the education system in this country. It'll probably come that way as some mandate for funding.
That's one word. That's my best guess, but you do this, you know, in Montgomery, so you think this is how it would happen, to be like, okay, if you're going to get the federal fund for this or the matching fund for that, you have to implement this.
Exactly. That's usually the way they send it down. somewhere.
What happens if a state, you know, you're talking about 12 and we could be 13 or could be more, say no to it? What do the feds just say, these states aren't going to get federal funding?
I don't think they can do that, but they'll harass you into force you into doing what they want, how they dictate. I mean, that's what's happened to our education system in this state, in this country. You know, I think we ought to let the states take over education and let the states compete against each other.
Right.
I've said this for years. If you let the teachers and the principals run their school, our kids would learn a lot more than what they're learning right now. I think we'd have a much better education system than what the federal government sends down. And, you know, I really think we'd do a better job at the state level.
So let's talk about, and if you're just joining us, talking to District 101 Representative Chris Pringle, pre-file bill. So this is something that would be in the 2022 regular session.
It's pre-filed for the next session of the legislature.
Okay, well, that's what's going to happen, because I heard you talking to Jeff.
Yeah.
Okay, on Friday, and I heard it in your voice. So that's why you pre-file a bill. Does it, if you go into special session, but the governor doesn't say it's about this, can that bill come up?
Yeah, it's not in what we call the call. When the governor calls us into special session, they will list, or she will list, whatever bills they want, whether it's one bill or five bills, whatever. That's the call. If your bill's not in that, then you can bring it up, but you have to pass the BIR vote.
Okay.
Same thing in a regular session. Before the budgets are passed, you have
budget isolation resolution, right?
So you can bring it up, but you have to pass that 3/5 vote to bring it up for debate.
Okay.
So you can get it up, but it has a
3/5. Yeah, I'm thinking 3/5. You got 3/5.
Yeah, so it's the BIR vote. It's 3/5 of the members voting.
Now, and I want to get to later on in the hour, I want to talk about special session or special sessions in plural for the summer. But this one, if it didn't get brought up in special session, it would be, I think you said it's number 8 or something like that. So we just lost that mic again. I don't know what's happening there. Something strange. I'm going to put you on this other mic. I don't know what's happened. If you'll pull that one around to you there, I'm not exactly sure. But there we go. Let's try that one there.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, lots better. All right, okay. I don't know what's happening with that.
It's HB 8.
Okay.
House Bill number 8, pre-filed.
Okay. So that means if it didn't come up in special, in regular, it would be...
I'd have to pre-file it again, yes.
Oh, you would have to pre-file.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
What are you hearing from folks on this?
So far, I've been overwhelming support. I mean, I've had members call me and tell me they want to co-sponsor. You know, it's been very strong support. I mean, the State Board of Education has a resolution they're going to pass in support of banning critical race theory being taught in the public education system in the state of Alabama.
Okay. Coming right back, more of our conversation with Representative Chris Pringle, District 101. We'll talk more about this. Also got your questions from the text line. Also get you on the phone lines at 343-0106. 343-0106. Quick reminder, too, Monday's a good day to get things planned. You know, what you're going to do this week. You have junk at your house. You have junk at your shop. You got a storage unit you pay on every month, and you couldn't name me five things that are in there. Okay, it's time to get my buddy Trey and his crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK to do just that. Get the junk. And I'll tell you what I love, too. You make that appointment. Let's say you do it today. You pick up the phone or you go online. They will find a day of the week that works for you and a window of time. None of this, they'll be there, you know, between 8 a.m. Tuesday and Friday night at midnight. None of that. No, they find a day and a window of time, and they book that. And then they do this, get this, they show up, they look at the job, and they quote you the price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it gone right then. So it could be the gigantic trampoline in the backyard and your youngest child's in graduate school, or it could be a junk, you know, room that was a guest room that turned into a junk room. It could be a storage building you got to clean out. Listen, you got junk, you need it gone. You need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They're online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or just pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. 1220, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile right here at FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. And guest in studio, District 101 Representative Chris Pringle, and a pre-filed bill to, and essentially it says, I know I read through it on Friday, but it just gets in front of it and says, what, no curricula with critical race theory can be added, or how do you word it? What's like your elevator speech of it?
It's very simple. I mean, it's like a three-page bill. It just says you can't teach critical race theory in the public education in the state of Alabama. Now, you do realize I just opened the door with this bill, and I've already talked to Terry Collins, who's chairman of education policy, and we're going to tighten it up and make it a better bill. It's going to be amended, I can tell you that. I sent it to her, and we're working together on it.
That's spoken from experience. You know, you file a bill and then wait for the amendments, right?
Yeah, exactly. This is such a big issue, and it's taken a life of its own. And it's all over the country. I mean, 12 states have done this.
Right.
Florida State School Board just banned it. Alabama State School Board has got a resolution to ban it.
What I want to do, and this is just, you know, this is me talking on it, I want to get ahead of this because I want to make sure that this that comes from woke left academia, as you said, doesn't, this push for critical race theory and equity doesn't cause problems with equality. You know what I'm saying? That this is, because my dream is Dr. King's dream of equality. And so when I see something like this that swings it, so I'm worried that the correction for that is going to ruin all the great things that have happened for equality. That, you know what I'm saying? It's almost like it's anti what we want to do as a country and come together and judge people on their character. You know, it's like when something like this comes out, I think it's a detriment to the fight for equality.
Oh, it is. This is a Marxist theory. I mean, did you see the lady in Virginia that stood up?
Yep.
That went through.
She came from China. Yeah.
And this whole process.
Yeah.
When the government was doing this, they would send you to a three-day re-education camp to learn their woke theories.
What was important, they defined you in China, the way this thing's trying to define you.
And this is what, it does the same thing here in the United States. It defines you as inherently bad, and you have to go to your re-education camp. Now, right now, it's only 3 days.
How long
before that turns into much longer, like it did in China and Russia and everywhere else the Marxists and the communists have taken over?
I think one of the things and I don't know if it's truly happening or it's just anecdotal, but you see the pushback against this critical race theory coming not just from folks that do this for a living, that talk about it like me or somebody who's elected official like you. Or even people that are, that are journalists out there posting stories. It's coming from mothers. You see these videos. Now, it's anecdotal. I don't know how many across the country are doing it, but you're seeing mothers of all skin colors, too, coming out and saying, I don't want my children taught this.
I think that's
going to be the biggest protection.
This crosses, the people opposed to critical race theory, it crosses all ethnic and racial and social lines in this country. People are waking up to how bad this stuff is, that these people want to divide this country and tear it apart by teaching our youth that we are an inherently bad country, whereas in fact we are the greatest country in the world. Are we perfect? No. Nobody's perfect. No country's perfect. But we are the best country in the world. We are the freest people in the world.
Yeah.
And we have the greatest justice system in the world. Now, can we examine it and maybe improve on it? Sure.
That's equality. Yeah. That's pushing for equality.
That's equality. But they don't want that. Like we said, they want equity. They want to redistribute wealth and redistribute property.
All right. Speaking of redistribution, how about redistribution of votes? And when we come back from the break, talk more about redistricting in the state. Of course, all the talk about the census last year and what its importance was, and we focused a lot on what maybe was an unfounded fear of losing a congressional district. But it does mean somebody's got to redraw the districts here in the state, and the man behind that is sitting right here in the studio with me, Representative Chris Pringle. Talk about that when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Guest in studio, District 101 Representative Chris Pringle. I'm going to read through just a couple texts here before we get into redistricting, but coming off this critical race theory, Dan says this is the type of thing that creates racist. Dan, I worry that this ruins what great strides have been done for equality. This unnamed texter says equity involves paying or earning value into something. Equality is value and part of a belief system. Tibor says critical race theory equals racism. Critical racism has no place in our schools. The blanking communist morons want to destroy our great country. I experienced this trash growing up in communist Romania prior to 1989. Well, imagine the stories he could tell.
Oh, yeah.
You're seeing people that grew up in this, given the warnings from where it goes.
Just like the lady from China who talked in Virginia.
Yeah. I mean, this is, look here, Dave in Gulf Shores says, like South Korea, land of my birth, they discriminate against non-Koreans. If you aren't a longtime Korean, you won't be president of South Korea. It's obvious to me for South Korea, then the idea of it being true here isn't so crazy. So, yes, I understand and agree with some of the critical race theory. You do that, Sean. Study critical race theory and apply it to another country, what you know about, and then form an opinion about it. Once again, I'm looking at the problem, Dave, the way I understand it, the problem in South Korea is one of equality. You're saying that I'm for equality, always have been. That's what I see as different with critical race theory. It doesn't seem to be about equality. It seems to be about challenging equality and not holding up equality. But it's a conversation that I think we're probably going to have for a long time going forward. I know that coming up, one of the special sessions we know is going to happen for sure. There's some questions I may ask you about prison stuff and all that, but looking at a special session on redistricting, right? I mean, that's coming. When do you think?
I will get my preliminary numbers in the middle of August. And those are
preliminary what numbers? So people hadn't been following this.
Preliminary population numbers.
Okay,
From the census. What they released a couple weeks ago was the overall population. That's how we kept 7 congressional seats. We had enough growth that we got by.
Mm-hmm.
But in that number they left is a little over 5 million people. There are about 126, 127,000 people in the state of Alabama that I don't know where they live.
What do you mean by that?
We draw on what we call census blocks. There are like 252,000 plus census blocks in the state of Alabama. And each little block tells us how many people live in that neighborhood or that street. And that 126, 127,000 people, they're not assigned to a census block yet. So in congressional redistricting, the 7 districts,
because they've moved in the last 10 years, or population is...
Yeah, they haven't identified, they have not told me yet where those people live.
Okay.
And in congressional redistricting, all 7 districts have to have the exact same number of people.
Just generally, right?
No, it's exact. It's close.
Y'all listen to that. It has to be exactly.
Exact. Yeah. So it's a tough hill to get
down
up
to the person.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tight.
Which
yeah
is zero what it's supposed to be, what the founders wanted, you know, equal representation.
One man, one vote.
That's right.
14th Amendment to the Constitution,
right.
Equal protection. And the same thing with our voting rights laws. Now, in legislative districts, they give us deviations of, you know,
state-wise.
In state House and state Senate, we can be 5% over or 5% under that what the ideal number is. And we do that in order to preserve county lines and city lines and voting precincts and, you know, just keep
not them splitting a household in two.
Yeah, exactly.
Right through the living room. Yeah.
Which goes, you know, under the Jingles ruling of the Supreme Court, you know, compactness and contiguity and all those, you know, all those things we have to deal with. But until I'll get some numbers in August. Now, we don't know how accurate those are. We don't know if they're 1% off or 3% off the actual numbers I get in the end of September. But it'll at least give me some working numbers so I can start.
But you can't work. Like, there's stuff you can't do now. I mean, you can't, even though you were in here months ago talking about this with us. And, you know, this, and you have stacks of paper. You left a thing on my desk that, I mean, dang, papers weigh 2.5 pounds in this thing. But there's a whole, I mean, you just don't have the data to put into it.
Exactly. Once I get the data in August, it'll take 5 days to load it into the computer. 5 days. That's how much data we have to deal with. But at least at that point, I will have an understanding of what legislative districts are overpopulated, what legislative districts are underpopulated, which congressional districts are over or under, you know, And at least I have some working numbers. I can sit down with members, school board, Senate, House, and Congress, and start working with them. Then I have to have my public hearings, and I have a whole series of public hearings set up all over the state of Alabama in September, so we can ask the people in that area of the state what they like, you know, how they would like to see their districts change.
And it has to be contiguous, like you said, though.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, you could find the perfect, like, man, if I could put this into District 5 over here, like a, but it has to touch district. It can't, you can't just go get some people from another area.
No, it has to be contiguous, and it can't be a single point touch. It has to have, you know, it can't be a
single, really? It can't be so gerrymandered that it's...
But interesting, if it's across a river or a body of water, it's still considered contiguous.
Okay.
Yeah. So you could actually jump Mobile Bay and have a district that crosses. Well, we have one now, Matt Simpson.
Yeah, Simpson says, yeah, he has it
but
on both
it,
sides.
But it's got roads and land, but you could actually jump the bay or cross a river.
If I lived in the Delta like I wanted to when I was a boy, then I'd be in that district.
Well, in the northern part of the state, I mean, you know, the Tennessee River comes through, and you can cross the river, and it's part of a district.
So you put this in 5 days of entering this into the computer. Then the computer does what? Does it give you a spit out some ideas? Or
no. We have to. What we'll do is we'll keep try and keep the core of existing districts intact, and figure out if you need to lose population or gain population, where we can go to either move people out of that district and give it to somebody who needs population. You know, and it's but it's a ripple effect. It's 252,000 pieces of this puzzle that have to be put together.
That was my next question down the list, because it's, okay, let's say you're looking at this, say, okay, well, we can grab some people from whatever district this is. Let's talk about state size. And we're going to move them into the, we're going to move some people from number two to number one to get number one and number two back. Now you took something out of number two. Now do they have to maybe go to number three to get?
It's a ripple effect. You've just figured it out.
Yeah. And so, I mean, pretty much there's Alabamians in some percentage of districts are going to be voting a different district. There are going to be people who are going to be voting differently in, that's my next question, too. Will it happen by the primaries next year? I mean.
Oh, it has to. It absolutely has to.
They're going
to
have a new, y'all heads up, somebody in the state, lots of somebody's going to be voting in a new district.
What I'm predicting, August, I'll get my preliminary numbers.
Okay.
I'll start meeting because we could very well be in a special session at that time dealing with prisons.
Okay.
Which I would like, because that puts everybody in Montgomery, so I can meet with them not only individually, but I can meet with them as a delegation to find out how they would like to work it out. Then we go into our public hearing phase in September, which September 30th, I get my final numbers.
Okay.
So then in October, I can sit down and we can, you know, figure out if we're in the meeting of a margin of error, the deviation, and draft a bill and hopefully go into session either the end of October or the 1st of November for legislative reapportionment, for all reapportionment, school board, Congress, and the state house and senate.
But this is either it is or it isn't, as you have to apply, if you have to build these districts. What say so is elected official have to say there? I mean, you're head of this. Right, that y'all are tasked with. You're defined by having either zero margin of error at a federal level or within 5% at a state level.
Yeah.
How much? I mean, I'm asking this, and in rhetorical, how much say so does an individual member of the House or Senate have in this?
Well, each member is going to have the opportunity to meet with us and the committee and tell us what they would like. We're going to tell.
But
them,
if it doesn't line up with the numbers, I'd like this.
Exactly, but ultimately, and this is what I told the Speaker of the House when I became chairman, I said, Mr. Speaker, I'm going to do the best I can to accommodate the members. But ultimately, my job is to draw a districts that are both legally defensible and constitutionally sound.
Yep.
We have laws that we have to follow, and those laws trump what individual members want. I'm not going to jump a river and go into somewhere and put somebody's hunting camp in there just because they want their camp in their district.
Knowing that it's not going to pass the test.
Exactly. It won't pass the Jingles exam set up by the Supreme Court.
I mean, I can imagine in your position, the knocking at your door and the people go, but listen, Representative, listen, if I could just do this, and you're going to have to tell people, nope.
Oh, yeah. I've got members calling me right now wanting me to redraw their district so they can get the friend they want to replace them because they're retiring in their district.
The answer is nope.
I said, That's not a tenet of reapportionment.
I can't imagine your gig. Some questions here from the text line. David says it's been rumored that the 7th Congressional District may reach down into Mobile County to get voters. How likely is that to happen?
That plan I saw was actually the 2nd District.
Second, okay, to come into the 1st.
No, I'm sorry, he's right, it is the 7th. It was the 7th District. You'd have to split Mobile and Baldwin County and split them to make that work. And we're trying not to split any more counties than we have to.
Is there some, I know you've got these tests that these things have to go through. Is there any thought to, we're alike and diverse in the state in so many different ways, but is there a thought process like, you just talking about Mobile and Baldwin County, we got a lot in common. May have more in common, even though Mobile County, you and I run those roads a lot, we share a big border with Washington County. In northern part of Mobile County, I understand, people from Citronelle may have more to do with people in Chatham than they do in Dauphin Island, but it seems like there's more commonality between Mobile and Baldwin County than there is, even though I know Washington County's in it, but you see what I'm saying? Like, commonality of major cities or something like that.
That's where we get in the argument on communities of interest.
Okay.
Yeah, and that falls under the community of interest. And a member of Congress that lives in Birmingham that represents Birmingham and Mobile. I've seen the plan that was proposed, and Mobile, the city of Mobile, goes into the same district as Birmingham. And if you live if you live in South Mobile County, your congressman goes all the way to Dothan.
Mm-hmm.
So the congressional representative would drive 4 hours through Florida to get to the other side of their district. And this goes back, and Sonny, I saw the plan they produced when Sonny Callahan was a member of Congress. This is kind of what got me into the whole reapportionment and redistricting. They literally drew a plan that came up Dog River, went to Sonny Callahan's south property line of his lot on the river, drew his lot, went back into the ship channel, the channel in Dog River, and took the only part of Mobile County in the 1st Congressional District was Sonny Callahan's house. That was a proposal.
Did you say that just looks kind of funny?
Yeah, that one would probably, but Sonny was quite, Congressman Callahan, I should say, was quite upset by it. So we went to war and tried to get it fixed. We did.
Coming back, more of this discussion, our guest, District 101 Representative Chris Pringle, and may even ask about the cost of building supplies while I'm at it. You seen it? You talk about his Montgomery job and his everyday job as well. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Monday style. Glad to have you along. Return to our conversation with District 101 Representative Chris Pringle. Right now, I want to check in with my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM. New week to work with. How's inventory?
Inventory's going to get even better. We got 10 fresh ones coming tomorrow. They'll come in by truck tomorrow. Got them from just out of town, local dealer friend of ours. So with fresh trade-ins, there's going to be a mix of cars, trucks, and SUVs.
Yeah, you've talked about that in the past. You get the cream of the crop of vehicles from our area, but you do have people around the southeast getting you great vehicles from elsewhere.
Absolutely. Like I said, we've got a lot of dealer contacts around the southeast, and a lot of these mega dealers just can't keep all the trade-ins, so we try to pick the cream of the crop.
And you know what we want. You get the vehicles, you know what we want. And you also got those financing options from around the country. You got great options for us.
Multiple options. Like I said, we've got major finance companies. We've got banks. We've got credit unions. We've got local lenders. And like I said, we've got lenders scattered throughout the southeast. So we've got a whole bunch of different options.
Larry, tell them how to find you.
Highway 98 Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
All right, Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. Continue our conversation with Representative Chris Pringle. And a couple things. So we're in this redistricting discussion. This is, you're the one, thank goodness, in the state that decided they wanted to do this. Can only imagine what that gig is, putting the data, dealing with the data, and then the phone calls and the asks and the, hey, can you redraw this and, undraw that?
It's probably the most complicated thing the legislature goes through.
And you gave me the simplified version last time you were in here, and it's like my eyes were crossed after three pages.
Well, it's fascinating for a policy wonk like me, I guess.
Thank God you like it.
But it's vitally important. It's kind of the basis of our country. It's the whole purpose of reapportionment is one man, one vote, and proportional representation. It was brilliant when our founding fathers developed this whole process.
No, and it's still, and I appreciate you. Well, I'm saying that I appreciate you doing that because it needs to be done, and people are going to understand that. You know, with growth, or you know, some areas grew, some areas, and so even let's say we stayed static inside the state lines of Alabama for this argument. But people are going to move here, there, or elsewhere. Even if we didn't grow a person or lose a person in the state of Alabama, good chance you'd have to redraw.
Oh, you have to. I mean, that's people move. I mean, that, and I hate to say this, but you and I are talking off air. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dallas County lost 6,700 people. Gone.
And Dallas County didn't have that much to work with in the first place.
No, but I mean, Washington County's lost population. Clark County's lost. Escambia County's lost. All those counties, Wilcox, every one of them has lost population. They're all around 1,000 to 1,500 people, and each one of those counties has moved out.
Wow. And so they've gone a lot of places, but, you know, areas in the north and south end of the state have gained, right?
Like Baldwin County grew by, I think it was 49,000 people. Lee County has grown. Madison and Limestone County have grown. Shelby County has grown. Tuscaloosa County has grown. There are certain counties that have grown, but almost every other county has lost population.
And this is something we've seen since, gosh, our parents' time, right? That people have moved from the country and moved to the city.
Yeah, particularly in like the 40s.
Look what happened here in Mobile when, you know, with Brooklyn and everything and all the people that moved from the country, moved from Washington County, Choctaw County, Sumter County, you know, Clark County, and moved to Mobile.
Oh, exactly. I work in the woods at Southern Timberlands. And,
yep.
You know, you ride around with me, I can spot old homesteads in the woods.
Yep.
You know, just all of a sudden you look out and you're like, there used to be a house there.
Yep.
What happened? Somebody probably just abandoned it in the 40s and came out and went to work.
Right. You know? So that's still at some degree still going on. You know, it's a different kind of job they're moving for or amenity, but they're moving to cities. So I guess people that are who has the best chance? People who live rural or live in metro areas of seeing their voting district change?
All of them are going to change. the growth areas, the districts are going to get geographically smaller, and the areas that have lost population, they're going to have to get geographically bigger because it's based on population. That's the key. It's based on the number of people there, which is also one of the reasons you want to get into is why the Rebuild Alabama Act was so important, so we can fix these roads and bridges and bring economic opportunity. The one thing all these the counties all have in common that are growing and prospering are the ones that have interstate system or transportation systems in them, you know, and internet. I mean, you get to some of these rural counties, there's no internet access. Companies can't move into that area because they can't do business.
Where do you think we're going with that? We got about a minute left here. Do you think rural broadband, what do we see in the next year?
We're going to have to do something to bring opportunities to the people in the rural part of the state, and we're going to have to fix our roads and bridges in these rural counties so we can bring opportunities.
I'll talk about that in the future. And quick note, 30 seconds left here, but I mentioned it and people on the text line. So you're in the woods looking at trees, but you're also a builder.
Yes.
Just buying finished product. You see any light at the end of the tunnel that's not a train on these prices?
I think within the next 6 months, the prices are going to start coming down. That's what I've been told, yeah. The timber prices. And I hope so, because as a contractor, it's terrible to watch.
You got to quote somebody a price on a job, and you're, you know, now you're looking at the prices of the raw material.
You can't get it delivered. CDL drivers, I was trying to get some sheetrock on a job, and I couldn't find anybody to drive the sheetrock truck to deliver it and boom it into my job.
Okay, get this country back on its right footing, that's for sure.
If you have a CDL license, you can get a job.
Y'all listen to that. And make good money doing it. So, I do that. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being in here.
Appreciate you. All right, Mom.
Hey, Representative Pringle's mom. Be back. Hour number two on the way next.